Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with coach and competitor Calvin Masters. Calvin and I spoke about how to become a great coach, ways to stay hungry for new goals, and the importance of mindset. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much, and as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now on to my conversation with Calvin. Calvin Masters, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to speak to you today. I'm excited to hear about all things coaching, nutritional strategies, mindset strategies, etc. But yes, I would love to hear from you before we get into how you came into coaching. I'd love to hear from you. What's the number one thing you're excited for the listener to learn today?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. So I think if anything else, I think it probably would be what I wanted to hear. If I was an up and coming coach, I'm sure there's some listening. Maybe they just are kind of new in the business. Maybe they're get a little bit of uncertainty. It's one thing to keep in mind with this is that this is still very new in the fitness world, online coaching. And so it's growing. That's what's cool about it. And it's evolving. So there really are no set rules, And it's the big thing that I would say is if it's something that you really want to do, if this is your passion and you want to do it, just keep moving towards it and don't get discouraged if you don't feel like you're keeping up with the Joneses. You're going to see a lot of stuff on social media that's going to make you feel like you don't know anything. And every great coach will tell you they feel like they know it all until they realize somebody knows more and then they feel like they know nothing. So
Oh, well, what you're
it's.
saying is even resonating with me because I mean, I think I have gone and still go through periods of time where I'm like, I feel like I know absolutely nothing. Or I think we all have these sort of like imposter syndrome days where we're just like, we only see what everyone else is doing, or we see what we could be doing even better. And so it is such a good advice to like stay in your lane and re remind ourselves that even if there are always people to learn more from, which actually is a great thing because that means we can keep growing too. But even if that's the case, you probably still, or hopefully still know more than your client. So, you can still help them in that way. So, yeah, I think that's a great thing to be talking about today. And I mean, speaking about coaching, how did you get into coaching, into competing yourself as well? Because you are an IFBB pro.
Okay, I'm gonna spare you the long story and I'll give you the short one. So I actually was by trade a metal fabricator most of my life, right? So but I loved fitness, I loved nutrition since high school, actually since middle school. And it was one of those things where, I used to write meal plans and workouts for my buddies going way back to high school. I'm not going to say how many years back that was, but it was a lot. And, so it's just something I always kind of enjoyed. And so I kept that always as my kind of my side gig, even though I had my career going during that time. But this was my outlet. This was the things I enjoyed doing. So I would train clients, and I kind of just stay, I would always have my hand in something outside of work. And that was just my happy place, And but raising the family, I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I have time to go and get a bunch of clients and build the business up and do all that. I just don't think I have time to do this in where I'm in my position in life at this time. Well, years and years went by. And so I ended up starting a boot camp about probably 12 years ago. And that was just a side hustle thing. I just wanted to have a place where outside of the gym where I kind of had my own rules. And I just enjoyed it and just wanted to create a community and just have something fun to do on the weekends. Well, that started to grow and it ended up being 3 days a week, regular, and it went on for a while. And in the process, I just wanted to help these women out. It was predominantly women. Sometimes they bring their husbands, but so I wanted to help more. So I ended up finding an online app, basically. So actually, I'm not, I say I did, but Brooke actually found it, my wife. And so I realized I can handle their nutrition in there. And I can also write workouts for them to take to the gym with them as well. So they could just have this on their phone and they could go to the gym and do these things. And it was just kind of just perfect for what I was doing. And even at the time, still, it was just a side thing. They were paying their $10 to come to my class and they were just getting the whole thing, And then that what started end up happening through that is I started getting transformations, through this. And those just started piling up. And then more and more, I was having more people that were asking for that, the workouts and the food and everything. So during that time, I just realized, okay, well, I really need to get good at this. This is something that, has my interest. And so I got really good at like macros, that was my thing, and writing the workouts. And so I had people that were just not in the boot camp, but they were still doing this. And it progressed over time. But then I learned that there was a thing called online, coaches. And when that happened, I'm like, okay, I realized you can actually make a life out of this. And so that really kind of just ignited a flame in me, because here I am looking, I'm working a hard job. It was a blue collar job. I was comfortable with it, but I'm like, do I want to do this forever? This is not really what I want to do forever. I never really felt like that's where I belonged. Yet the things I'm doing on the outside of that, people related, helping people, like that was like a drug, that I just couldn't get enough of. It just made me feel good all the time, and I'm like, I need more of that. I need more of that. So I started pouring into this, and it did get to the point that I was almost like obsessed with it and becoming great at it. Not because I was trying to be better than the other coaches. It was really just because I just was fighting to create a new life of
Yeah.
something that I love to do, and so it was never seemed like work. It didn't matter what time of day it was. I was reading, researching, listening to podcasts, just taking, soaking as much knowledge as quickly as I could. I was trying to fit a master's course in my head as quickly as possible in all things coaching. And so in the process, the transformations kept coming. I'd post on social media and it just kept building and building and building. And then, finally it came to the time that Brooke is like, I think you should leave your regular job. I think it's time. It's time to kind of move on. Let's build this thing. Which was a scary moment, for me, because there's no certainty at that point, which I'm sure a lot of people that went to get into this have that fear. They're like, well, what if it dries out? What if one day everybody just decides just to stop? And then I have no clients, just one day they're just like, I just don't want to do anymore. All those things go through our head. But you don't know, you never know what's going to happen. But I can tell you that's very unlikely. You go, and if you do love it, people feel your passion. It's contagious. They see that you're in, they want to be a part of it. You're only going to grow more. So that's exactly what happened. So I ended up retiring out of that job, and then we grew at a pretty fast rate. And so I ended up retiring Brooke out of her job to work with me full time as well. And we've managed on average probably in the last four and a half years, probably since COVID, really. I think it was on average about 150 clients a month.
Oh,
And it
man.
never dropped from that. We've been on hold on weights and just, and so it is all the things that I feared about it didn't exist. It was just stuff that I built up in my head. But I think that's going to be that way for anything that you're really passionate about. And that's one thing I would definitely say. If this is something that you're passionate about, go for it. But if you're not passionate about it, if you're thinking of doing this just because you think it's going to be an easy way out to make some money, this probably isn't the thing for you, because it's really not easy in that sense. You do have to put the work in.
Yeah, I think that applies to any kind of job. Like if we're just doing it just for the money, or just to make ends meet, or for the means of it, people feel that energy, as you said. And I mean, how great is it to be doing something that you're so passionate about that you'd probably also do it if you were getting paid less for it, or I mean, you did it for a while for hardly anything. So I think that's a really, really great recommendation for anyone who's considering it, like in the sense of how passionate are you really about it. And I mean, that's something I do want to get into a little bit more in the sense of how do we become a great coach? And you mentioned a few things here. You mentioned you listened to podcasts. You mentioned you kept and still keep on educating yourself. You and I connected at the Fat Muscle Conference, which means obviously you were there to learn. Yeah, I go there to learn, to network, and so on. And I think that is definitely a sign of a great coach, that we have that drive of like, there's always more to learn. There's never going to be like that end line of like, oh, I know it all about coaching. And if you think that, if someone listening to this thinks that, then unfortunately, I hate to break it to you, that's not the case. And two, you should probably check your ego as well. But Calvin, I'd love to hear from you. What are some other like quote unquote ingredients for becoming a great coach?
That's a good one. That's a good one. But I'll back up for a second because you mentioned something that was kind of funny about the money. Just so you know, like when I first started going and coaching and charging people, I was charging $50 a month. I
Wow.
had no idea what anybody was charging or anything. I was so clueless, And I was, boy, I was working, and so, gradually worked up to where we are now. But just to kind of go back to that, there's no
It's
perfect
good
way.
to know. And
It's
I mean, I think it's perfectly fine to undercharge when you're starting out because also, like, I mean, in the end, you are also paying for the experience of a coach, like someone who's more seasoned. If you have someone who's been in the industry for 20 years, most of the time, given that they are continuing to build on their education, they're going to charge a lot more than someone who is 2 years in the business. And I think that's totally justified.
And I do think that's something some people struggle with. They get that imposter syndrome a little bit, and they're afraid to do it. But a good way to kind of look at it is if you have a trainer in a gym, they're typically charging $100 a session. That's for a workout. So say that's four workouts per month. You're literally just seeing this person for 45 minutes, and you're paying $400 a month for that. Think of how much more value you're giving as a coach. So hold that posture, when you go into this and know your worth. And it's just like what you said in the beginning, a lot more than they do. They're seeing you because they don't have a clue. And the more you coach, the more you realize most people don't know nutrition at all. They don't know training at all. And you're going to provide it plenty of value to them. So, and now to go back to your current question about, to become a great coach, there's a lot of things that you can kind of look at. So I think the best thing I can do is try to keep it simple. And it is exactly that, is remember to keep things simple, when you're coming into it, and not overthink things. Kind of going back to the social media thing, right? You will see videos with knowledge that you would think only a doctor would know, and most of our doctors don't even know this stuff. I think we're learning more than a lot of them know. And it can get very intimidating, for a coach. But to be a great coach, the one thing you got to remember is it's not the knowledge what makes a coach a great coach. It's your job is really just to get the person to the end goal, period. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter. Make your own rules. Find your own ways to do that. It can be any route that you choose to take, but you don't have to know every medical reason that there is and how to resolve it to get a person from point A to point B. You just have to be a coach, so that's watching over things, that's keeping them, on point, making sure that they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. Because
What I
nine
would
times.
add to that, just because I love this point, and I know that you're like basically layering that in there because we spoke about it before hitting record, but what I would add to that is just like the intention obviously has to be also like how can I do that in the way that I keep this person healthy or get them to be healthy? Because for instance, before we started recording, we talked about your client who had a coach who never reversed them out of a show, and so they just stayed at low calories, and so like obviously get them to the goal, but was it the best possible way or the healthiest way, or were they empathic with the person? I think nowadays we don't see that as often, but like a lot of quote unquote old school coaches, they were just like, I don't care about your personal preference or your lifestyle. Here's your plan. Do it, execute it, whether that works for your lifestyle or not. And it's your job to make that work. And I think now we have kind of learned to work a little bit around that. If someone says, hey, I much prefer fats over carbs, then you're like, okay, we can probably, manipulate that a little bit. Or I can't get to the gym 6 times per week. You can probably say like, okay, we can make it work with 4 times. So I think, yeah, I know that you as a coach, you are practicing all of that as well.
Well, that's the thing, is the difference between competitors. One of the difference between coaching competitors and coaching lifestyle is when you are a competitor, you have a set date that you have to make, and you have to peak at that hour, right? So it's more regimented, you know. So there is things that need to be hit by certain times, you know. And then, but with lifestyle, it's really taking a person that, like we said, doesn't know anything and reconfiguring that person, you know, giving them on the right path to go to find these things, but also molding to their life what they're used to. Because every coach has their way. One thing I hear a lot from coaches is, man, if they would just follow the plan, if they would just follow, just eat the food, just do this. And you know, and it's, you got to think for a second, you know, you got to step back and take a deep breath and say, listen, this person came to me in a very vulnerable position. They reached out, they'd stuck their tail between their legs to come to me for help. They chose me. That's a gift. That's not a burden on you. You know, you can expect that they're not going to do these things. If they were doing these things already, they wouldn't need you. You know, so expect them. So troubleshoot with them, expect those things. And you know, it's good when you're doing the initial call to set your own goals for that person, despite of what they say, and always set those goals a little higher, because I can tell you one way to create really good retention and have word of mouth build your business is always exceed their expectations. Find a way to do that, period. You know, so you can talk the knowledge to them and all these things that they're not going to understand, but actions are going to speak louder than words. You know, what they see is going to is that's what's going to carry. That's what the other people are going to see. They're not going to ask about the scientific part of it, you know. But the goal is not to just give them what they want. Ever. That is not my goal, ever. I'm already sizing them up. I'm thinking of their potential. And that's why a lot of the people that come on with me were not competitors. They weren't competitors. They had no intention of competing, you know, ever. This was for me a carrot to put in front of them to challenge them, you know. So what I did is I got really good at finding ways to make prep not so unpleasant, you know, and make it an enjoyable thing, because that process can change a person in a positive way. You know, you've heard horror stories that can change them in a negative way. They can change them in a positive way and change their whole life. So there's the ability not only to improve a person's health, to improve their physique, but you have the opportunity once a week when you have this call with them, or twice a week, however you do it, to actually literally change the course of this person's life. So that's not something you want to take for granted. And the best way to make sure that that happens is just exceed their goal. Find a way to do it.
I love that. I honestly really love that because, like, for instance, even just before our call, I was chatting with one of my clients, and she, at the end of it, she said to me, "Thank you for believing in me." And like, to me, this was like such a out of the blue kind of message because I was like, "Yeah, why wouldn't I?"
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's exactly what you're doing, what you're saying. Like, a lot of people, they don't even believe in themselves, and yet alone like the people around them don't necessarily, I mean, maybe they're like, yeah, you could probably do that, but they don't see that potential. So I love what you're saying about like you're showing them what their potential could be, and that causes them to like essentially elevate. And that's also something I wanted to talk to you about because I know you're big on mindset. And I mean, obviously, just the fact that you have been competing and that you took the scary risk of getting out of your full-time job to pursue your passion shows that you love setting new goals and you know staying hungry for goals. But
Yes.
a lot of people, they might not have that internal drive, or if they've had it, maybe they've lost it because of societal programming or the people around them tell them, oh no, it's too hard, this is too unrealistic, and so on. So my question to you is like, how do we stay or get hungry for more goals and like believe that we can break out of that mediocrity?
Right. That's a really good one there. So it's mindset is it's a huge one, and that's actually why we ended up bringing a mindset coach in,
Oh, cool.
because we realized that it goes very deep, and it's very important to have the right start, the right mindset going in. But just expect that there's going to be bumps. There's going to be times that they're going to fall off. Like for example, a pattern that I noticed, and you probably noticed it too, when you have somebody has a lot of weight to lose, say 100 pounds, 200 pounds, I started noticing this trend when they would lose a certain amount of weight and it would be more than what they had lost before, and they hit that goal, they will ghost you just like that. It happens almost every time they go. And what happens is they just hit that one thing and they release and they're like, okay, I'm a little bit better than where I was before. And then they can go full circle back around, and it's that to me is, I take that on myself and look at that as a mindset glitch. I didn't prepare them mentally to go into that, to be prepared for that. So now that's our mindset coach. That's her specialty, is that she goes in and she programs them because she's lost 100 pounds herself, and so she understands it. So, but having the right mindset going into something is anything is going to be, it's going to be the key to your success, period. So I really, in the beginning, when I had the original consult call, I'll start asking questions to kind of see how much are they really in, and what is it going to take to get this person to where they need to get to. And key things that I listen for is when they say things like, nothing's ever worked for me before, that's my red flag right there. I put that down. Okay. Things like that, that you kind of sense, you sense the negativity. So already when I hear that, I kind of picture what this person's life is like. So I'm thinking in my head, well, how can I start to create some victories for this person? So I'm not going to make it so tough out of the beginning. I want to show them baby steps, how they can kind of get to something. And I'm probably going to over celebrate them, when they do it. And I'm going to tell, man, nobody's ever done it that quick before. That's really good. You got this, and just those kind of talks, and sometimes you have to break your rules of your standards for your days. I know a lot of us are told through coaching to make it as simple as possible and not deviate from that. But sometimes you got to call them, sometimes you have to get on the phone and they need a charge because, if you're a person that emails them, if you're a person that leaves a message on the app, it's good for them to hear the voice and it's good for them to know that you care. That's the key. That is a bottom line, is they have to know you care, because you don't know what their job is, what they go through on a day-to-day basis, how their relationship is. You may be the only one person that believes in them. You might be. And so they're going to listen. They're going to listen. And the only time they will not listen to you is if they feel you don't care. They will shut down like that. So you have to make sure that stays congruent and do it, whatever it takes to do that. And so the mindset with them is setting small, break up whatever the goal is. If they need to lose 100 pounds, that's a big step. That gets overwhelming to look at that. And man, I got to lose 100 pounds and we're only 10 pounds in and I'm already struggling. And it's like, that can kill motivation right away. But if you set little goals in the way, it could just be lifestyle goals. Hey, let's get the water going. Let's make sure you're doing that. And let's make sure that you're divide your meals up, or getting your protein in, let's move to meal prepping after this. I think you're ready for meal prepping. You're doing a great job. I can see you're really progressing fast. How about we try meal prepping this week? I think you got this, let them hear you, talk to them and let them know that you're acknowledging what they're doing, but you care enough that you're getting excited that they're doing it. And you are, because it's genuine, So those things are really critical to keep them going. And when they start to progress, I have a tendency to push them a little bit. I will. And like I said, I try to overshoot what their original goal is and do that. But I might nudge them a little bit and say, hey, I think we should try this. I think we should try this, whether it's like a Spartan race or something, bodybuilding competition, something that you think that they might be into that would require them kind of staying on plan and maybe working a little bit harder, because now they have something to work towards. It's having kind of like an end goal is a huge thing, right? So it's creating that form if they don't have it, so that's one of the big things you want to kind of consider with them. So most people don't have that,
Yeah, and I think the great thing about that is too, once they prove them to themselves that they can't achieve one goal, or even just like, let's just take that Spartan race. They might not sign up for the 10K of the race, but they might do a team challenge with four other people, and they might come in last, but they completed it. And then they're like, oh, cool, this was fun. And even like you get such a rush from completing a goal, if you have, especially if you've never done it before, that you're probably going to sign up for something else after that. And that's, I think that's a big key to like that quote unquote staying hungry that we are talking about. And you're completely right, Kellen. I see that too with many clients that have never successfully lost or gotten to their goal weight. And they even sometimes said, oh, I think this is my body weight set point. I've never gotten past XYZ. Like, I literally have heard this. And I think to your point of like having those conversations even beforehand, I have sometimes said to these clients, like, listen, I'm gonna probably like make you a prognosis here that when we get to that point, when we break that point, you're gonna wanna self-sabotage or like you said, ghost me. But I just need you to promise me right now that you can do anything, like even if you go over calories, if you don't go to the gym, whatever, keep communicating with me. And when they do that, and when we get to that point, quite often by that point, they have forgotten about our initial conversation. I'm like, remember when we initially talked about XYZ point? We're here right now. You made me a promise. And they're like, oh shoot, you're right. So this is how we break through. This is how we push that. Because it's really like an electric fence that we have around our comfort zone. And that we get to that point of like that specific quote unquote body weight set point, which by the way doesn't really exist. But you know, we get to that point and they hit that electric fence and they're like, oh, okay, cool, I'm gonna self-sabotage and go back. Whereas we're like, we can just short circuit this electric fence and you can get out. And we push actually your boundaries out of your comfort zone and get to that new body weight goal or whatever. So yeah, I love what you said there.
See that those words right there, that's how you know an experienced coach. You know, that's spoken from a place of experience and a person that's been through this, and that's what that is. You know, that's what you learn as you go, and that's an example of where you didn't have to know hormones or any of that stuff, you know, for that.
No.
It's just coaching. That's what it is. It's a beautiful thing. And but
Yeah,
it
that's
is really, it's just getting into the head. It's just being a part of it, you know, covering the different aspects of what it takes to get somebody across the finish line. And just a set of macros and a workout plan isn't going to do it,
no,
you
absolutely.
know.
And as you said, like a lot of that is coming with experience as well. And yeah, I totally agree that like having goals along the way and encouraging them to set goals is a really good strategy, and even more so like small goals in between. But sometimes like on the flip side of that, I do find that you also get people that are almost only goal oriented. They're like, I have a wedding in half a year, and then 3 months later I'm going on vacation. Da, 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 da. And so with these people, I find the harder thing is getting them to love the process and like the whole journey of just embracing a quote unquote fit lifestyle. So how I guess my question on this side is like, how do we get these people or someone who's listening might be in the same boat? How do we learn to love the process?
Yeah, that's a good one. That reminds me of quite a few people that would come in kind of on the flip side. They're a little overly ambitious, you know. They want to do a bodybuilding contest in 3 months, but they got, you know, 80 pounds to lose, and I just started working out last week. You know, so how do you tell that person, well, all right, you know, so you do get that. Yeah, slow your roll a little bit, you know. So in that case, it's kind of being realistic with them and saying, I love the goal, but we have to set a timeline and set, you know, break it down again into segments, you know. Say, well, let's just make the first goal right here is just to get 10 pounds off, you know. And then let's see when we achieve that, you know, where we take it from there, and then go and go and go. And as far as getting them to love the lifestyle, I think it's kind of doing kind of like we were talking about before, is kind of having them do things that are relative to what supports their goal, but gives them a sense of accomplishment, you know, in the process. So like if their heart was set in a bodybuilding show or something, there's a lot of other things to do on the way to that can make you have that same feeling. So it's not such a need to have right now, you know, but it is something you look at, you know, long term. But it's the progress and kind of consistency of seeing them achieve different things. And it doesn't always have to be about weight loss. It could just be something like the race, you know, a Spartan race or something like that they knew that they had to be in some kind of condition to do this and follow the diet and stuff. And And those little things, I think, of course, it depends on the person, but that kind of goes back to the coaching aspect and how much are you paying attention to what they're saying, you know? And I think that's it. Just really just setting the small goals and just finding things that interest them and just keeping them in that position, but acknowledging every single win that they have and letting them know of what they're not doing right, but putting more focus on what they're doing right, but kind of saying, okay, well, if we fix this, we can get there a lot quicker, you know, so let's work on that this week, you
Yeah,
know.
and I think that's where the whole mindset point that you mentioned is so important, where we're like, okay, yes, I like that you're goal focused, but can we also focus on the person that you're becoming with this? Like, is this really, are you adapting this new identity? Like, especially if someone is just a goal weight focused, or you know, that wedding focused, and also like thinking about can you see yourself doing this or living this kind of lifestyle in 10 years, having that conversation with them? Or why is it even so important to you that you hit exactly 130 pounds? Maybe we get to 135 and you feel really great. Is that okay that we just stop there then? Like having those conversations, I think, is quite important too.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you do, and then you have situations where there's roadblocks, you know, going into something. They have something, and then that's when you do find out that something's maybe off. Maybe they have PCOS, they didn't know it, you know. Maybe it's estrogen dominance, maybe this or that, and then having to deal with that. That's probably one of the most difficult parts with coaching, is having that fire going and putting the work in, and then you're seeing it. You know, that was one of the things I got really good at when I was using the app to try to figure out how what people need, is I got really good at reading the graphs compared to their food logs. I was like a master at this, right? I could tell when they did their refeeds. I could tell when they had too many fats. I knew when they had Mexican, you know. And I could read these things. And one of the things I did notice that I learned was inflammation. And then, you know, insulin resistance. And when I would see that inflammation where the weight would come up and it would just stay there for a week and then slowly come down. So to me, that's not a binge. A binge, you'll still see fluctuations and then it'll drop. This is a straight thing. And I'm like, man, my heart drops when I see it, because I'm like, okay, we got to do labs. You know, something's causing this. I don't know if it's a gut issue or whatever. And so now that to me is that's where the knowledge does come in, you know. And you do have to kind of dig a little bit, and keeping their mindset strong during that time, that's probably the most challenging, you know. But I'm making them understand that this is not uncommon, you know, and that there are times that we have to go through this, and sometimes it might mean that we're not going to hit that goal that we had originally. But if we're lucky that we found this, because if we address this now, we can fix this and put you in a better place. So none of this will be that tough later after, you know? And so it's that.
Yeah, and especially like learning to or getting them to also feel good along the way, because you can often say like, yes, I can get you to this goal weight with more drastic measures, even though we are experiencing that inflammation or hormonal imbalances. But A, are you going to be able to maintain it? And B, how shitty are you going to feel throughout the process? And C, it's probably not healthy. So I like that you are having that continued conversation, because that's the only way you get the client to buy in, and only if they buy in and accept it and want to learn along the way as well, that's when they're gonna execute it. Otherwise, they might just ditch it or try cancel halfway through, basically.
Yeah, that one is. And but when you get them past that point and you actually get them in a better place, now you got a client for
No,
life. You
that's
know,
100% right.
they've,
I love that. And yeah, I want to stay on the point of mindset, and I know like we didn't necessarily speak about this beforehand, but I would love to hear from you, because you are someone who is very goal oriented. You say openly you are always hungry for something new. But now when it comes to the mindset, what are some of your personal practices, if you have any, to work on your mindset. I don't know if you read daily, if you journal, if you go for a walk, if you meditate, whatever, and most people have out of practice. If you also work with a mindset coach or a therapist or anything like that, I'm just curious what your own mindset practices look like.
For me, the walks always work. A 15, 20-minute walk. I'll do that pretty often when I come across a check-in and I see there's an issue with something. And I'm like, need to put some thought into this. And a 15-minute walk is amazing for that. You just get moving, you kind of clear your mind, and it just clears things up, and you come back and you're rejuvenated for that. And also the other thing too is even as a coach, there's times when you get a little bit of burnout too, because you might it's not what you're doing so much as much as, like, say, it's been a tough week, a lot of issues you had to deal with, and something that, now I could just be weird, but there was something that kind of always brings me up is I try to learn something new. I feel like if I'm learning something new each week, at least each week, I'd love to say every day, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it every single day. But each week, if I can learn something a little bit more, or find a subject that I don't know as much about and kind of dig into that a little bit more, it has a way of kind of relighting the fire, And especially when I find those nuggets, it's like I get back and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be trying this. And if, like, that has all never changed coming up, as a coach. I was just, you would have laughed if you would have saw me. I was like, I would go to the gym, I would want to fix everybody. I was that guy. Like, I would learn something. Oh God, when I found out what insulin resistance was and how to fix that, everybody was getting that. You were on the treadmill next to me, we'd have a conversation, and I'm like already dissecting. I'm like, I can fix that. And so, but that's
That.
it. I just loved it. And I just, every time I would learn a new thing, I'm like, man, my brain starts going. I'm like, who has this? I can fix this. I can fix this. And I
That's
have.
very cool. Yeah, I think that just speaks for your attitude and your mindset, because a lot of people they see where they might have gaps, and they again like feel more insufficient, or they feel like, oh, that's not my area of expertise. I don't even need to learn at all about this. And on the contrary, you're saying that's like fuel for you, and that's really, really
Oh,
great.
yeah.
And I think when it comes to the every now and then feeling burnt out, I mean, anyone, even if you're super, super passionate about what you do, or maybe especially has that from time to time. For me, or I think for many coaches, that occurs when sometimes you do notice that you actually care more than the client, and that's a little bit sad, because of course, like, while we might see their potential more than they do and so on, they still need to care just as much as we do. And if they don't put in the work, and you're like, ah, oh, it could be so perfect, we've gotten so far, and now you're taking 10
I
steps back,
know.
not just one, that's when it sometimes hurts, and you do need to learn, or at least I had to learn to detach from that, and just eventually, like, kind of, I tried my best. I put the ball in their court. I've done it so many times. There's nothing more I can do. And if they choose to go that way, sometimes things have to get worse before they get better, and they might come back in a year or two, but it is what it is. I don't know if you've experienced that too.
Like, you and I, we come from a place of service. Like, our intention is to serve, and to really do that properly with what we do, you have to become connected to the person. I had things that I would do in the morning, and I still do it, not as much as I used to, but what I would do is I would read, I'd have my list of people, and I would go through every name, and I would read it, and I would read it, and I would picture the person. Because I want to be connected, to that person. I want to have feelings attached to that person, so that no matter what kind of day that I'm having, I still am like, man, I can't let this person down, And but what comes with that, you do get connected, you do get attached, And like you said, you're gonna have people that just don't want it as much as you do, And they have so much potential, and you see it, and you're like, you're right. You could do this. It's not that hard, And it's very difficult, And it's, and especially when it is someone that, say, their hormones are off or something, and you know that if they walk away, they're going to be fighting this, forever. And it's like, it is, that's heartbreaking. That is. So I've had some tough ones. You know, it almost feels like you're getting broken up with when
It
you
does,
leave. You
yeah.
know, it is funny because we deal with a lot of people on a daily basis. So I wouldn't say that this is a lonely job, but there is a side to it where people at some point have to release, whether they're finished with, you know, what the goal is and it's time to move on, or something financial came up, you know, or they just aren't in a place in their life at that point to be ready to do it. And sometimes they will be gone and you won't see them again and they just disappear. But you're still connected and you still, you know, have that. And that's a tough pill to swallow as a coach. That's probably the one thing that I'd say. I'm glad you brought it up that people should be aware of, but they do have to learn that detachment at some point, but
Yeah,
they
I
can't
mean,
let it tarnish them.
that's right. Like, and now that I've got a small team of other women to lead as well, every now and then, one of them will say, "Oh, Lisa, I feel like I'm doing a bad job because she hasn't spoken or she's ghosted me for the last two, three check-ins." I'm like, "You're doing everything that you can. It's literally
Yeah.
all, it's not on you. You need to learn to let go of it." I think because people or coaches, most good coaches are helpers, are like by nature probably a little bit more on the people pleaser side. And so if we feel like
Yeah.
we're not helping them get to where they should be going, where we can see them going, we feel like we're a failure. But yeah, I think that's a really important part to learn for someone personally, and to just like see it a little bit more neutral, especially if it's your own business, if you're an entrepreneur and you can't take that to bed with you or into your own private life. I can imagine that that is
Yeah.
sometimes maybe a bit of a challenge, especially since you and Brooke work together, but maybe having some good like routines of like, okay, we're shutting down work now at 7 p.m. We're not going to talk about this anymore, or I'm leaving my laptop. So I think it's good you have an office. You can literally close the door and it's in there, hopefully. So I would imagine after all these years, you probably have a good practice figured out for that.
I think we got that dialed in and finally.
Take
We've
some time,
moved
actually.
offices in this house like I think four times.
Oh,
But
well,
this is my
no,
man cave at this
I
point.
think it looks great. It's good that you guys have your boundaries and at the same time work so wonderfully in synergy. I'm excited to have Brooke on at some point as well to talk a little bit more about the menopause transition aspect of things or hormonal aspect of things. And yeah, Kelvin, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I'm going to put all your social handles in the show notes so people can go and check out Masters Fitness, and of course also your own podcast. You just started your own podcast, is that correct?
We did. We
That's
did. We have two
very
episodes up. We
yeah,
are on
awesome.
Spotify, and I think Brooke just got us on the Apple one today. So
Amazing.
that's pretty exciting for us. We have some episodes pre-recorded that are coming on. We're going to have some great guests. I'm going to try to talk you into coming out on that, you know
Cool. Well, it's my
that.
absolute pleasure.
So,
Thank you so much.
yeah.
And yeah, congratulations on starting that.
I will say if there's one more thing I can leave,
Of
and this
course,
is
please.
for the coaches coming up, you know, is kind of about the knowledge thing. And you know, because I bring that up a lot because that was something that sat in my head when I was coming up. I felt like I had to know everything. And going back to that, the best analogy I can give for this is to look at it like stock car racing, you know, in a sense. So when you have stock cars, same engines, same body type, they race, but what makes the difference of who wins, which is a driver, you know, it's even across the board. So as a new coach coming up, the one thing I would think about is think everybody knows the same. Just assume everybody knows everything. So if that evens the playing field, right? So now take that mindset and think, what would I do now to be a good coach if everybody knows everything? You know, what would separate me? Those are the things that you focus on when you coach, the things that come up in your head. That's what you want to capitalize on. The knowledge will come, but think about those things. It makes it a little bit more clear because I mentor a lot of local coaches that are younger, and that's how I tell them to kind of pull that away and simplify it to say, if everybody knew everything and we played even, what separates you? What things would you want to focus on outside of that to make that client believe in you as a coach?
That's
So no matter what distractions you have, just focus on improving those things and making those things clear, which is being present for your people, being their cheerleader, support them any way you can. And the basic things, those are the things that make a great coach. That's it.
Amazing.
That's a way to
Well,
simplify it. So
they are the simple and basic things, but you're completely right. Most people are missing them. Most people are thinking like it is about the exact macro prescription, or they need to do another hormone course or whatever. And in majority of cases, caring more, being more empathetic, being available, it goes a really, really long way. I love that last little takeaway here. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, just in general, I think you've provided a lot of great value here. So truly, thank you so much.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on. This was awesome. And I will be seeing you soon on my podcast.
Awesome. Would be my pleasure. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Calvin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.